So one of our great viewers has sent us a little care package. I remember it was one of the videos I was doing outside, and I didn't realize it until I kind of went back and watched it. I appeared to be pretty cold, and I was cold. The wind was blowing. She said that I needed a scarf, and I told her I don't own a scarf. Yeah, my wife's got a few scarves, but I think they're more for fashion purposes and not functional purposes.
Right.
And she said she was going to send us some scarves. So you've already got yours on there.
Well, I mean, it actually came in a few days ago, and I have worn mine. We've had a real cold winter down here in the South. I'm assuming everybody has. I mean, it's been colder than normal. And we got these end of the day, Trav, and I put mine on, and I've took it off when I went to bed and took a shower, but I have wore it every day since every we got day. It in. Okay. And I really didn't know how I could pull this thing off because we're not big scarf people, but once I got to playing around with it a little bit and I understood how it went in there, and I got the look down.
You got the look, is that yep. How you supposed
to? And then I understood, you
did
know.
Did you look up some pictures on
I did, around? I did. And I understand this, a lot of French men wear this outfit right here.
Right, it could almost be a blanket.
So the look that I'm really pulling off here in French is called sophistiqué fondue. You have to do your hands like that when you say that.
I thought that was what you, cheese. Like you,
that's just a French word. It's part of sophistiqué fondue would be the look that I'm pulling off here. Now, see, that's not right what you got
this
there.
This is what you call the Ric Flair look.
Yeah, right? But that's not. That's you got I'm to going. Poke it in right here. Yours is a little bit longer than mine, but you poke it in right here. Extremely warm. I mean, I love it.
I'm going to go with the Ric Flair on mine.
Yeah.
Also known as the Methodist preacher.
Yeah.
That's... is how we gonna do it right.
I like that, but I mean,
my
poking it in
a little bit bigger. Than
it mine. Is, it's longer, but the way you push it in right here really keeps your neck warm. You're amazed at how much heat you lose through your neck till you start wearing one of these. Everybody in the warehouse comments on how sophisticated I have appeared to be since I put this on. My walk's got a little straighter. I'm pulling this thing off.
Yeah. So Mama J sent us this, and that's what she goes by on YouTube. Is Mama
Thank
J.
you, Mama J.
And it's just a nice little card there. Got our scarves, keep us warm. It has been a much colder than normal
it has.
Winter. And
hopefully that'll help with our insect pressure a little bit.
Yep, hopefully so. And Mama J also sent us some of this. She calls Call the Fire Department Hot Sauce. And, hello.
Got a little pressure on it, did it? You want a cracker to dip down in there and see what it smells like?
I figured we'd both give it a try. You got to get plenty of room there.
That's a unique color to it.
Y'all like hot stuff.
That's got a good flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
I also have gotten me some broccoli soup.
To it.
I've got me some broccoli soup here that Miss Hoss made for me this morning. And I think I'm going to go ahead and get into it.
All right. Hand me one more cracker. Let me sample it one more time. I don't believe I'm I'm gonna call the fire department quite. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That'd be good on a raw oyster.
It would. I think I'm good there.
Good smell to it. I don't know what kind of pepper she uses in there. These all different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
That's vinegar.
I'm starting to appreciate the flavors of different peppers more than I used to.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Thank you, Mama J.
Yes, sir.
I'll take that home.
Yep. And
put on some chili, too.
Yeah.
What else we got going on?
Well, my broccoli soup. Did I mention I had broccoli
soup?
Broccoli soup. And we love broccoli soup around here, especially on these cold days. Here,
we've got
I got a big pot of it. You see the broccoli in there? That broccoli was harvested this morning out of the garden.
That's nourishing right there.
Mm-hmm.
You got just a rough recipe on that?
Rough recipe on that, and then you got to have your club crackers to enjoy
what
with
I
it.
Put in there?
Now, I said Miss Hoss made this, didn't I?
Oh.
Miss Hoss did that. We'll have to defer the recipe to her.
You don't know nothing about it.
I don't know. I'm partaking in it. All I know is I got the slick down.
You got the look down?
Mm-hmm.
Your hair slick back?
You like that? Promenade?
Pomade.
Yes,
homemade.
Could be.
You got some Dapper Dan in there?
Yeah, I got a little Dapper Dan in there.
So I brought some goodies here. I had to redeem myself a little bit. I feel like I had to after, let me set this down here and get this one. From them little cabbages I had, I let some of the other ones go. And I was doing a trial out there, comparing four different varieties. The early round Dutch, Stonehead, Bobcat, and Cheers.
Bobcat and Cheers being hybrid varieties, another two. Open pollinated.
Stonehead, I can't remember. Early flat Dutch is early round Dutch is definitely OP. Anyway, so the Dutch and the Stonehead come off first. They're definitely faster maturing varieties, which is going to be good if you're working in a tight window. You want faster maturing, but they don't. The heads are a little smaller on those,
right? Kind
of compact heads. Now your Bobcat. Well, like I said, these aren't massive like last year, but they're a little more respectable than what I brought last time. So that's your Cheers right there. And that's close to a grocery store size cabbage right there. And that's your Bobcat right there. And so from my experiences, these are later varieties, but they do make bigger heads. These two varieties here are pretty tit for tat. Maybe the Cheers edges it by a slight here. I picked the two biggest heads I had out there. But I'd say these two are about neck and neck, Bobcat and Cheers, on making big heads of cabbage. The other two are earlier varieties, slightly smaller heads. Now, we got one called Superstar that I have in the greenhouse, and there's another one called Caribbean Queen, which is a flatter one. I'll be trialing those, in the spring to see how they do. Compare, but I might get me some sauerkraut out of that.
That's a nice head of cabbage. You're not gonna win a county fair with it, but it's a nice head of cabbage. Now, I had a guy this earlier email us about seeds and the days to maturity, and he brought up cabbage, for example, and it says 70 days to maturity. Now, that is from the time it is seeded to its maturity, but so many different things could come into play there,
right,
such
this
as...
This cabbage was planted in mid-October, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's so variable there, because you got temperature, you got moisture, you got fertility. A lot of different things can throw that off. So those days to maturity is simply meant as a guideline. It could be quicker in certain conditions, or it could be longer.
Right. The good thing about them getting ready this time of year is they hold well on the plant, and you ain't got to pick them all at one time.
Right.
You can go, just grab you a couple as you know it. The commercial guys around here, they grow a big field of them, kind of harvest them as they have orders for them and stuff.
Exactly.
So we got those. Do a little better on our cabbages.
Feel
a bit better about that. And another thing that holds really well that we don't have to harvest a whole lot at one time is carrots. Now, these still got another month or so to go, so they're not as big as they're going to be, but I want to show you what we got so far and kind of compare these a little bit. We might do a blind. These aren't washed really well enough to... We might snack a couple. So that variety right there, that's Bolero.
You grew some fine tops. It's a shame we can't eat carrot tops.
And that is the yellow stone, which has turned into yellow bunch. I can't remember. Yellowstone, yellow bunch. I can't remember what it's called on the site now.
Oh, those are nice.
Then we've got Envy, which is a new one we added this year.
Which I believe Envy may have outdone them a little bit.
And Purple Elite. So we got four different varieties there. The Boleros are a little more stubbier. Now, but they'll fill out. I've grown Boleros every year. They always make nice carrots. These Yellowstones will get a good bit bigger. These, they're pretty nice for purple carrots. You don't always expect with the purple carrots quite what you expect from the orange ones. But I'm really, really impressed by this Envy variety here. It, like I said, that's a new one. I'd never grown it before. Bolero had always been my kind of go-to favorite, the one I planted every year. And now people rave about the taste on Bolero, so it'd be interesting to see compare those two. And I think we might do a blind taste test next.
That's got a decent amount of sugar content. That's a good carrot right there.
Let me show you the inside of these Purple Elites. Now these are pretty to me. So the inside of them kind of got a little yellowish to
mm-hmm.
it. And these are really, really good. So I was camping this past weekend, and I've been trying to get better at my cowboy cooking over the fire. For those of you who don't know, we got another little channel called Pop-Up Life. You can find it on YouTube. We travel around with me and my wife and kids and camper, a little pop-up camper. Go check that out if you want to. But when I first started posting videos on there, I was cooking on my little mini Weber grill, and some people said that you need to be cooking over that fire you got built over there. And so got me a Dutch oven. And
Santa Claus brought that, did he?
Kind of studying up on it. I talked with my buddy Jimbo over in Texas.
Yep.
Jimbo used to run a catering service doing cowboy cooking. And he coached me up, gave me some tips. And this last camping trip, it was cold out there, but I did me some cowboy-style beef stew and put me some of these purple carrots in there. And, man, it was good.
I bet.
I let it kind of simmer for about 3 hours or so on there. It was really good. You gonna try one of these?
Yeah, I'll take one.
They're a little hairy. But them roots ain't gonna hurt nothing. I did ranch them off a little bit, but not you know, carrots is kind of like English peas. It's one of them things where the discrepancy or the differences between this and a grocery store carrot, there really ain't no comparison.
Yeah, these are not as sweet as those are.
You like the
those are a lot sweeter to me. Of course, it may be the where they're at in the stage of maturity, but that's a sweet carrot right there.
Well, all these are planted at the same time, all of them the same density. Just looks like the envy, maybe. Now, the way I plant them real thick, you're going to get some of them little ones in there like that.
Mm-hmm.
But those are good to throw in your beef stew and stuff. We got like all sizes of carrots. But really impressed with the envy so far. And you can plant, if you want to plant, even if you live in the South, you want to plant you a spring crop of carrots. They'll come off really fast. And you can get those in the ground around February or so. And grow you a nice, quick spring crop. They don't take near as long as these overwintered ones do. And you can get them off pretty quick, pretty true to the maturity date on the seed packet.
Yep.
I'll let you can hang on to them right there.
All right.
Did you grow any carrots?
Got carrots growing in a raised bed out in the house.
Oh, yeah?
Got a good stand of them, looking real good.
This hoss did it?
I'm going to take some credit for it. She did most of it, but I gave her some advice and encouragement.
Well, I didn't know you got carrot advice.
I got some carrot advice, and most of what I gave her was encouragement.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That helps.
Since I've got this new look going on, people's taking me a lot more seriously than they used to.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't getting
Is that such word as
debonair?
Debonair. Yeah.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. Hand me that hot sauce back over here while you.
You gonna give another?
That was pretty good.
Pretty good. Had a little flash of.
A little, but it didn't last long.
No, it didn't last long at all. A lot of people with all the political unrest going on, some people are upset with some of the social media outlets and stuff have asked whether we were going to start posting content to other video hosting sites and stuff like that. And so I thought I'd address that real quick. And this has nothing to do with anybody or this company's political stance. But at the moment, we don't have any plans of branching off of YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. That's the ones we do. And for those of you not aware, Oracle did buy the U.S. version of TikTok.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Evidently that got wiggled down to the news. Didn't make the headlines.
It was on the news. It just happened a little while, I would say a few months ago.
Really? Okay.
So there's a U.S. version of it that Oracle bought. But we're not going anywhere as far as YouTube, Facebook stuff goes. I understand some of those companies have made people upset, but our goal here is to help as many people as we can grow our own food. And currently, these outlets are the ones that allow us to do that. So we try to leave the politics out of it. And this is where you'll find us every Thursday night.
Yep. Right. That's right. Amen.
All right. We got some new varieties here I want to go through. Some we just added to the site, or some that might have been on there a week or two.
Speaking of varieties, in the last couple of weeks, we've been hit pretty hard with the orders. I mean, it's been crazy around here. And if you go to our website and you want to buy you some seeds, you may see that we're out of stock on some varieties. We got several ladies packing every day. So we very well may be out of something today and tomorrow have it in stock. So just keep a check back and understand just because it says out of stock doesn't mean out of stock for a long period of time, forever. We could have it back in. It means we just don't have it packed. Excuse me, the hot sauce is there. It means we don't have it packed, but we're packing just as hard as we can go, and we're getting things in the inventory as fast as we can get them in there, so just bear with us. It's just the nature of where we're at right now. I don't think it's just us. I think the other companies are in the same situation. I'm not going to mention any names, but we know one other company has shut their website down temporarily to get things back up and going. Another one says they're not taking orders from home gardeners except for just certain times. So the whole seed industry is under a lot of pressure right now, and we're doing our best we can to keep up. And I think we're going to be okay. You may not find the variety you want it when you want it. You may have to kind of keep a check on the website and see when it's there. Grab it when it's there and go from there. I do anticipate running out of some stuff.
But at this point, we have plenty of choices where you can find a very suitable substitute.
Yes.
If the one variety you don't want. And you may find that, and I always recommend people doing this, trying different stuff, you may find that veering off those varieties you've been growing for 15 years, you might find something better that you didn't even know was better.
Yep.
So let's start off with pumpkin here. So we got some jack-o'-lantern style pumpkins. We already have a couple varieties similar to this on the site, or one PMR jack-o'-lantern called Mustang.
What does PMR mean?
Powdery mildew resistant.
Ah.
So this one here is called Camaro, and this one is supposed to have the most improved powdery mildew resistance. There's levels of powdery mildew resistance. This is supposed to have the most improved powdery mildew resistance of any of the jack-o'-lanterns out there. It's going to make about a 20 to 22 pound jack-o'-lantern, really high yielding. Because you got that PMR on there, you can grow this one, you know, plant it in July, grow it in the fall, and it's going to hang in there for you. And if you're growing, you know, jack-o'-lanterns to sell or just for decoration purpose, this is a really good one to grow. Next one, got a cantaloupe here, and we've talked a lot about the Athena cantaloupe before, which is probably the most popular commercial variety.
Yep.
But as far as backyard garden goes, the most popular backyard variety is this Ambrosia.
Yep.
Right here.
It is, and it's also tolerant of powdery mildew.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's got 99% germ on it here. So Ambrosia, really known for its flavor. Just a good, you could grow it commercially. I'm sure it is grown commercially a lot, but super, super popular cantaloupe variety. I know a lot of you that like cantaloupes probably want to grow that one. A lot of people asked over the fall and winter, asking us to add some Persian cucumber varieties. Did you know these Persian cucumbers? They're actually more closely related to a honeydew than they are.
I did not know that.
Actual cucumber. So we have one here called the Armenian striped cucumber. Nice long cucumber there. You want to trellis these puppies to make the straight fruits. If you were to grow them on the ground, they might curl.
Right, and that is also an heirloom variety.
It is an heirloom.
That is known for its sweet flavor.
Yeah. Now these next three here, I planted in my video I did last week on starting my peppers. Can you help me out here?
I can.
Hold that one. So this is a little series of three different ones that we added here. And you could grow just one of them if you like just the color red, just the color orange, or just the color yellow. But I think growing one or two of each is going to make a nice little medley. Now these are sweet peppers. And they're I don't say they're like a mini bell because they're more flat and almost look like a
pimento style.
Yeah, pimento style pepper. But you can cut the stem out of them and stuff these things, mm-hmm. Throw them on the grill.
I grew these a few years ago, or one real similar to that, and they are wonderful. Got a great flavor. It's probably that and poblano are my two favorite peppers.
So we've got the red one called Ride on Red, orangey sweet, and yes to yellow.
Mm-hmm. The flat bottom on these makes it real good to be put on the grill. They sit well on the grill so you can grill them.
Right,
sock good on the grill so you can core the top out, stuff them, and just grill them from the bottom side, and they do really good.
That's right. Okay. Last one here is a new gourd we got. Some people call this a dipper gourd. It's called Caveman's Club. This is an old heirloom gourd variety. And if you'll make you some spoons, and stuff. This is one to grow. You could also grow it to make something to whop somebody with.
Yeah, hence the caveman club.
Yeah, somebody gets out of line, whop them with one of these gourds.
Yep.
But you can also make you some dippers, all kind of little neat crafts out of it. I think they can get up to about 18 inches long, and then you just cut one end of it off, got you a nice little dipper there.
Yeah.
These, you do want to trellis these if you want the straight handle on them. Now, if you want a crooked dipper handle, you can grow them on the ground. But most gourds are going to do better
trellis. Fence or hog panel or our holding oven netting, anything that'll give them some support.
Like all right, so this week, our main segment here, we're just going to, we had a lot of good questions on last week's show, and from all kind of different areas, and we just want to kind of go through these. I think we've got 10 questions here we want to go through and answer.
Rapid
these.
Fire, shoot fire, quick question.
That's
segment.
Right. All those words.
Yeah.
All right.
My nose is running from my air hot sauce.
You don't need me to call the fire department?
No, I'm good.
Call Mama J?
No, I'm good. All right, so the first one is from Bob Clark, and Bob wants to know from Travis. He said, I'm ordering a double wheel hoe with a plow set and can't decide between the sweeps and oscillating hoe, a question we'll get quite regularly. Mm-hmm. Can you point me in the right direction?
So the answer to this question has changed a little bit since we strengthened those sweeps some, but I still kind of stick to my general answer on this. So you got two weeding attachments. They both kind of do the same thing. They're just different ways. So the oscillating hose, which we have in 6, 8, and 12-inch lengths, they're stronger, okay? If you've got hard soils that crust over, or you got some of them thick grassy weeds, crabgrass, stuff like that, those weeds that you about can't reach down there and pull up by hand, then you're going to want to go with the oscillating hose. It's stronger, that blade's thinner, and it's going to help you out with heavy weed pressure or harder soils. Now, the sweeps, on the other hand, are a lot more versatile. You can do all kind of different things with those. Use one at a time, use both, change the width. It's kind of like having all three oscillating hoe widths in one. They're not quite as strong as the oscillating hoe, but they do work like a charm. If you don't have really heavy weed pressure and you want that versatility, go with the sweeps. If you need that strength for hard soils or really, really dense weeds, go with the oscillating hoe.
Agree.
Number two is from Jim Render, and he said, y'all use the term come off about different varieties of plants. Does that mean when they germinate or when you should put them in the ground? And then he wanted to, I'll address this right here. He wanted to know, were we boycotting Florida Zone 9A or 10 when we talked about our seed structure?
Yeah, the term come off is a loose term that we use around here. It means it's a verb. It actually means the growing off of a plant. So when we say come off, it means it has reached its maturity and ready to put into the ground as a transplant.
That's right.
And now,
I think the reason we didn't mention Florida or 9A and 10 last week is because if you in there, you should already got started.
We do shun them a little bit. Now, when I read this question, I felt bad about it, because especially 10, if you look on the map, there's not a lot of y'all's 10s out there in zone 10.
Oh, some 9s.
We got a decent amount of 9s, but not a lot of 10s. So we probably should do a better job of including them into the garden. Yeah. It's a little different. I mean, in a 9, man, you got to worry more about the heat. And in 9 and 10, you do the cold. Yeah. You don't worry about the cold whatsoever, but you worry about the heat.
I've already got started if you in 9. And 10.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we don't have any problem with the Seminoles or the Gators down there. Those are good people.
Yeah, good people, yeah. No problems at all.
We got a little problem with some Roll Tide, but that's about it.
Yeah, we got some infiltration in here. For those, they're a little arrogant.
They're a little arrogant, yeah. We have to watch. We got two Alabama gals that work here at Hoss Tools, and I'll be honest with you, I had to keep a close eye on both of them.
Yep. Eyes in the back of your head.
Yes, sir. You never know what they're going to do. They're unpredictable.
Yep. I agree. It is what it is.
Yep. All right. So the next one says, last year you were to be in Arkansas. Do you have any plans to visit this year?
So last year, right, I had flights planned, hotels booked, and everything.
Man, you was cool. I was going to go to Germany, believe it or not, to a trade show. Didn't make it.
And then COVID hit, and I had canceled all my travel plans. So I had planned a little circuit last year, where I was going to go to these different events that a lot of the influencers we work with host. And I want to make kind of a round the South, Alabama, Louisiana, maybe Texas, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, make me about a 2-week round. I might even take my pop-up camper with me. And I'm going to do that at some point. I just don't know when that's going
to be. Well, the junk needs to settle down a little bit first.
COVID's got to settle down. We got to get our heads wrapped around some stuff here a little better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do eventually want to do that and kind of film it all. So that is on the list. Number 4 from Melissa Wheeler. She says, do y'all have your own compost pile at your farm? Can you do a video of how to start your own compost?
We do have a compost pile here, and we've made compost before, and I think that's a great point she brings up. We should do more education on that. A lot of people out there talk about making compost, putting a compost pile. It's a little more complicated than what most people let it off to be. There is a strategy you have to go by there to make good quality compost, and there needs to be some education on that. Just a little tidbit to throw out there, you got to have the right amount of carbon versus the right amount of nitrogen. Normally speaking, 30-to-1 ratio, 30% carbon to 1% nitrogen. You have to have the right kind of moisture, the right amount of aeration of air, oxygen in there to make everything cook off, to make that real rich compost.
Yeah. I think the reason I don't make my own is because I use too much. I would need for the amount that I use, I would need a good-sized tractor just to turn it off, and it's just easier for me to buy it. Now, if it came to a point where I couldn't buy any, that might necessitate me making my own.
Well, I think what goes back to is a lot of people used to advocate, which is a great thing, composting your residue from your garden.
Right.
And that's a great strategy.
If you can get it hot enough.
But it's a little more complicated than just throwing it in the bin and saying that's my compost bin. You got to have, whether it be mechanical or it's got to be mechanical or hand, whatever, a way of turning it, getting that air in there. And that's the most labor-intense part of it, is to turn it.
Yeah, getting it.
And you got to have that nitrogen source in there.
Yeah. Need you some rabbits, some goats, some chickens.
Yeah. Tammy Ziegler, good friend of ours, she says, do you use 20-20-20 on your seed starting trays? How much and how often? And what is your water and fertilizer schedule for seed starting?
A lot of people ask this, and I just picked Tammy's version over the question. So, in your seed starting trays, when those plants get their second set of leaves, also known as true leaves, then that's when you really start wanting to hit the fertilizer to them. Now, we mentioned last week, you can push those plants if you want to, or you can pull back on them. If you're running short on time and you're like, man, I need to get these things ready to go in the ground, you can push them and really pump the fertilizer to them. If you're like, oh, looks like it's going to stay cold another couple of weeks, but these things are, you know, growing pretty fast, you can pull back on them a little bit. But let me just give you the general, if everything, you know, everything's going on the right timeline, kind of how we do it. So we use our 20-20-20, as she mentioned. You're going to mix 1 tablespoon per gallon of water. You got to water them overhead, so get you a little watering pail or something that's going to give you a nice little sprinkle. We also have a tool called a brass siphon mixer, makes it kind of does the injection for you. But 1 tablespoon per gallon of water. You can take your milk jug, mix it up, pour it in your watering can. And we like to do it at least 2 times a week. And like I said, if you want to push them, you can. You could go 3 or 4 times a week if you want to. You could back off of that and do 1 time a week if you wanted to slow them down a little bit. But general, I'd say twice a week, a tablespoon of 20-20-20 per gallon of water after the true leaves form. Number 6 is from Zingy Pingy, or Zingy Ping.
Ziggy Ping, yeah.
How do you guys feel about strawberries? He's in southeast Texas, just north of Houston, been there. And there's some stores that are selling ready-to-go transplants, but I heard they don't do well there. He's getting conflicting information.
Yes, he is. Well, I've grown strawberries before, but I hadn't been real serious about it in a number of years. But this year, I got me some strawberry plants, and I reached out to my good friend James George. James is been growing them for years, and he lives down in Texas. Mm-hmm. And he gave me some strategies on what to do. I planted these things in the fall of the year, about the same time I planted my elephant garlic. And he said to keep the blooms picked off and keep the runners picked off till January, keep them fed heavily, keep them watered, and then let the blooms go in January. Now to grow some nice big strawberries, and that's what I've done. So I don't have a lot of strawberry experience, but I will tell you this. The advice James gave me is working so far. I got some good-looking plants there, expecting some good-looking strawberries. I think it's worth a try. I think most people probably don't feed them enough. It's just like onions. They don't plant them at the right time. But I'd give them a shot. You got to start somewhere.
Now, every time I've seen them grown, people grow them on straw or plastic. Has the weed pressure been tough?
It's not. I got a little secrets I'm working on there. I'm doing some experimentation, but mine's pretty clean.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see where it would be, and that's the reason they want you to grow them on mulch most of the time, because it can be. And the black mulch or the plastic also helps with the heat, keeping them a little bit warmer.
Water retention as well.
And number 7 is from Sarah Moore. She said, I've never grown hybrid tomatoes before, but this year after watching you, I ordered some Bella Roses and Sun Gold. Can I save the seeds from these hybrids, or will I have to buy new seeds each year?
You can save them, but the chances of you getting a Bella Rosa or a Sun Gold the next time you plant them are very rare. So you can replant hybrid seeds, but they more than likely won't be true to variety, and that's because of the genetic shuffling that was done to create that hybrid. The offspring are a lot more variable than the parent, and so you can replant them, but I wouldn't count on that as giving you a whole lot. You could make a sterile plant. You could have a seed that didn't germinate. You can make something completely different. If you want to save seeds from tomatoes, you need to plant heirloom or open pollinator varieties, which we have plenty. I always say this about saving. I hear a lot of people talk about they want to save their tomato seeds, but saving tomato seeds is hard work. And unless it's a variety that you just know you can't get anywhere else, and your time is worth anything, it might be worth a few dollars just to get a fresh pack of seeds. Those things are tiny, and you got to dry them out. And we do pumpkin seeds with some of the pumpkin varieties we grow.
And it's tough.
Here, and that's aggravating, much less tomato seeds.
Yep.
All right, number 8 is from Laura Martinez, and she says, when transplant tomatoes, she saw where it was recommended to cut the bottom leaves off and put the plant deep. And that helps to get better roots. We know that. Should you bury a determinate as deep as an indeterminate?
I do. I bury all mine. You know, tomatoes are, in the horticulture world, we always plant your plants at the existing soil line where they was in the pot. That's pretty much standard on everything. Tomatoes is that one exception to that. I ain't gonna say one exception.
Leeks too.
Yeah, leeks are an exception. Gerber daisies is another exception. There's a few exceptions. None of them hold truer than what a tomato is. You got to plant that tomato deep, and it'll give that that stalk will actually sprout out roots, and it'll do wonderful. It'll be supported better, and it'll just grow off mo better than just planting them at soil level. A lot stronger plant.
Yeah, even though determinants don't eventually get as tall, you're still better off.
Yeah, plant them deep. You can't overplant them. You don't want to cover them up all the way. But if you leave 3 or 4 leaves coming out of the soil, it'll do fine. It's just, I normally plant them. I will break off the bottom leaves and plant them up above that. I plant mine real deep, and they always do wonderful.
All right.
Number 9 says, I bought 2 24 start trays.
You going to say who it is?
Yeah, I will. And this is from Muggy Munches.
I think that's Muggle Munchies.
Muggle Munchies. I bought 2 24 start trays. What should I start in each of them so when it comes time to fertilize, I don't burn them? I'm in Southeast Louisiana.
So we talked about this last week, growing similar plants with similar germination times in the same container. That way, one's not way ahead of the other, and you need to fertilize one, but worried about burning the other. So this is what I would do if I had just 2 24 trays. I would, I would do my peppers, tomatoes, and eggplant. Maybe just start my peppers first and then plant my tomatoes a little bit a few days after that. So they're all about the same size. And then my other tray, if I had another 24-cell tray, I'd plant me some cabbage, some broccoli, and some cauliflower. to plant in early spring. That way I had some food come in before those other things were ready.
Yeah.
All right, last one is from MJ Inks, and she wants to know, what's your schedule for fruit trees from now until spring? Pruning, spraying, fertilizing.
Yeah, so it's in the middle of winter time, and we got some time on our hands if we got, you know, if we got some daylight left when we get home. You can go out there and you can safely prune any of your fruit trees right now. Any of those crossing branches or branches that you want to get rid of, now's a good time to do it. Do a little research on the internet or wherever to find out exactly where to prune them so they heal over well if you don't, you know, not experienced with that. But it's a great time to do pruning. You can also, if you've had problems in the past with scale on your fruit trees, it's a good time to spray dormant oil on your fruit trees real well. Now, a lot of people think, well, I ain't got leaves, why am I spraying? Well, you're actually spraying the trunk of that tree, and that dormant oil, it's really important to get good coverage so that oil penetrates the crevices of that tree, so you suffocate all those insect eggs right now, and that'll help you a little bit with breaking that cycle on your insect problem on your trees come springtime. Now, fertilizing, I'm in the camp, I like to wait a little later than most people do to fertilize my fruit trees. I like for them to leaf out and to be actively growing so they can utilize all that fertilizer.
Good tips.
Yep.
Good tips. I got to, I need to prune a couple of my fig trees and start me some, I got a few little gaps amongst my orchard I need to fill in.
Yeah, and one more thing. Between this show and next show, some of you are going to be, have your potatoes shipped to you.
Okay.
So the potatoes are coming in, and we're fixing to start shipping them, so I want to go over a little bit of that. You people in Florida, southern Louisiana, southern Texas, southern Alabama, you're going to get your potatoes first. So we're going to ship the people out in zone 9 and 10 and possibly 8 that needs their potatoes first. And when you get your potatoes, if you're not really ready to plant them, it's pretty simple. Store them in a dry, cool, dark place, just like you would your table stock potatoes, and they'll last fine till you get ready to plant them. Don't get up all in the water if you don't get your potatoes in the next few days if you live up north, because you're not going to need them. We promise you, we're going to have your taters to you in time for you to plant them. So that's not an issue. And we will be sending them out according to the weather and according to where you live. The next few days, we're going to be in tater shipping mode around
tater
here.
Shipping mode. The more I wear the scarf, the more I feel like Ric Flair. Might be a jet flying, limousine riding,
yeah.
Kiss stealing.
Well, that's kind of weird. I feel more sophisticated than you got on the wild side a little
bit.
Yeah,
it got me feeling wild.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you again, Mama Jay, for
absolutely.
The gear here. And I hope everybody enjoyed the show tonight. And if you have any questions, comments, always put those below, and we'll be glad to help you out there. If you enjoyed the show, give us a big thumbs up. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Ring that bell so you get notified every time we come out with a new video. We'll see you next time.
Take care.